It's your good friends, and I might drive you around the bend. But I'm sure it's crazy kids to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Tanner, you'll be mildly interested to know that my whole family is just at the tail end, hopefully, of 4 days of a wasting disease.
Oh, okay. Which one? Tuberculosis, cholera, like something like pretty old-fashioned, right? Something we're definitely inoculated against.
The thing that I kept thinking of during the process was, have you seen Cabin in the Woods?
Cabin fever. Cabin in the Woods is the other one where they're like part of some kind of like industrial corporate machine full of monsters.
Yeah. Cabin fever.
Sure. Yeah.
It kind of seemed like that.
The finger banging scene?
No, not specifically that scene, though I did. So last night while I was like exorcist vomiting all over the bathroom, I like started thinking about cabin fever, like in between heaving. And then like one's mind inevitably wanders to that finger banging scene, which, you know, guys, if you haven't seen it, don't bother.
Check it out.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. And I very distinctly remember being like, I do not want to be thinking about this right now. I do not want to be like using brain
space. What if you died throwing up? And that's what you were thinking about when you died.
That would suck.
That's how you like come back as a ghost.
Yeah, that's why I would come back as a ghost. It's like,
maybe
just give
you
me
all
time
the
to
cowboys.
Think about anything else, you know, like reading stories to my kids or something. Anything other. Yeah. Like the last thing he thought about was that fucking finger banging scene from
Cabin Fever. Yeah.
We're not going to say what happens in it. If you haven't seen it, that's great.
No,
you
don't need to. Don't see it. Yeah.
But it was like that, where it was just like, you know, like you seem fine until you're not. And you're like, oh man, I can't believe this happened to my wife. Or like, I can't believe this happened to Cyril. He was vomiting everywhere. And Cyril doesn't know how to vomit. Sorry for a vomit talk. But he doesn't know how to. So he'll be like, I feel really sick. And I'll be like, all right, let's go to the bathroom. And he'd be like, I don't want to. And I'll be like, it's about to get worse if you don't come with me to the bathroom right now. So it's been a mess. It's been a horrible mess. We've all been so very sick, just with a terrible wasting disease from cabin fever. So sick. I can't eat anything. I tried to make some soup before this record. And
necrotizing fasciitis
unable to get it
is
down.
What they have in cabin fever.
Yes, I think it's
that. And
it's
a flesh-eating bacteria, and that's what you have. And
That's what I have.
Eating away at your genitals.
It's eating me alive,
Specifically first, I think, is often how it happens.
Okay, that sounds right.
There's not a lot of documented cases of it. There is the film Cabin in the Woods.
Yes.
Or not Cabin in the Woods.
The documentary. But so it's that. It's from the documentary Cabin Fever.
But you're feeling, you seem like you're sprightly now, or are you still
feeling great,
bad?
I feel great, except that my tummy feels really bad and I can't eat anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It felt like I needed to catch up on that. Everyone had it in the house. We all got so sick. Kind of at different times. Lewis had it, and Lewis was the coolest about it. He just like sat in his
Who brought it in?
Lewis, 100%. Lewis is absolutely patient zero, no question. He just like crawls around in his daycare, like touching other babies. It's
like
it's
drinking out of lakes that have like dead bodies in them.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I think is how it starts in cabin
That's
fever.
How it starts, yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you. I did recently, within, I would say, the last month, watch, I think, probably about a 45-minute video where someone was trying to analyze what disease everyone in cabin fever was dying of.
Okay, yeah.
As I think part of a series on YouTube where they try to analyze the science behind a lot of like horror and sci-fi stuff.
That's
so I'm
great.
Pretty intimately familiar with a lot of the details.
It sounds like,
fever, just right now, for... It just happens to be so.
Well, it's so useful. And then, so
really,
what's my prognosis, doc? You think I'll be okay? Probably. I just need to kind of like eat applesauce and.
You said your tummy is still hurting.
Have like clear broths. Yeah.
I think you're probably gonna die, and I think it's probably gonna hurt.
Okay. Yeah.
And is that? And I've never. And you know. I do know a lot about cabin fever, but I don't have good bedside manner.
And is somebody gonna at least? Try to finger bang me before that happens?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Again, the documented cases are few, but that has happened in a good number of them.
Yeah.
Statistically.
Okay. Well, that's something to look forward to. That's not what we're here for today, is it?
No, we're here to discuss a film that is what I think of this film as my generation's film.
Okay,
you know?
Yeah, that's
you guys
right.
had
yeah.
Empire Records.
We had
this
Empire
is
Records,
our yeah. Empire Records.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's your Empire Records. Yeah,
a mere 5 years later, and it's like it's got everything. It's got a soundtrack that is absolutely packed with Smash Mouth.
Oh yeah, it is packed with Smash Mouth.
All up and down Smash Mouth's catalog. We're talking Can't Get Enough of You Baby. We're talking about that Monkees cover of whatever.
Yeah, there's a surprising amount of Smash Mouth and no All-Star.
No, this is pre-All-Star. This is their debut album. Back when they like fit a soundtrack with... Who else is on this soundtrack?
Well, there's a scene in the movie that just like blew my fucking mind where they're playing White Zombie, which yeah. rules, and then Jennifer Love Hewitt walks in and they seamlessly transition to Sneaker Pimps 6 Underground. And it's one of the most incredible musical transitions I've ever experienced in my entire life.
And it just felt like so ahead of its time.
Yeah.
That song specifically just felt like, oh, they're like, what are they doing? Here's some of the other things that are up against Can't Get Enough of You Baby by Smash Mouth.
Okay.
Blink-182's Damn It.
Damn It.
A classic.
I read that Blink-182 contributed Damn It to this soundtrack. And then while watching the movie, what's his name? Tom DeLonge came up with another song.
Wow. Can I say something controversial yeah. about Blink-182?
Yeah.
Like a hot take.
Please.
Damn It is sung by the other guy.
Okay, yeah.
Mark Hoppus.
Yeah.
I think a Mark Hoppus vocal performance is much better than a Tom DeLonge vocal
okay.
performance.
Wow, Jesus. What is this, the fucking Joe Rogan show? We're going to get fucking canceled.
I don't care. This is a hill I'll die on. I think I way prefer a Mark Hoppus Blink-182 song to a Tom DeLonge Blink-182 song.
You know what? I'll admit right now that I probably wouldn't be able to tell them apart. I'm not
oh,
that
you
deep.
Would.
I'm not that
you
deep
would.
In Blink.
I mean, I didn't think I was either, but I listened to this Damn It song and I'm like, wow, give me more of this.
Okay.
I think it's a little like saying you prefer like Paul McCartney songs to...
Yeah.
John Lennon.
Yeah. Well, the Blink is the Beatles of the 90s.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, that is what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Who else? Feeder?
Feeder's. Oh, man. Fucking nobody cares. That Feeder song came on, and I was like, this is Feeder's High. And I was watching it with my friend who's visiting and Sarah, and they didn't care. And I was like, did you hear me? I just, from the opening bars of Feeder's High, pulled that it was Feeder's song High. There's no one else in the world who could do this. It's incredible. You're in the presence of a fucking master. And they just did not give a shit.
Song that's one that I don't know called There's Graduate.
Graduate's one of their biggest hits, but there are like a few Third Eye Blind songs.
Yeah. There's of course the replacement song Can't Hardly Wait, which is the movie is named after.
Incredible. What a good song, too.
Do you see what I mean? This is our generation's... It's got all the hits.
Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised there's not a Our Lady Peace song on here, you know?
Ugh, man, if only.
We were all so confused, you know?
Yeah.
When did this movie come out? Oh, 1998. Same as...
98. Shit.
Isn't that when Empire Records came out?
Is it the same year?
No, Empire Records is 95.
Okay. All right.
But still, just 3 short years later...
Yeah.
And we've got an entirely new ecosystem.
It's beautiful.
What's the show and who are we and what are we doing?
It's the boys. It's Strange Bedfellows. We talk about romance. And this week we're talking about the classic, absolute fucking classic rom-com for elder millennials.
Yeah.
Can't Hardly Wait.
Middle-aged millennials, I would say.
Yeah. Okay,
you're an elder millennial.
I'm Gen X.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
No, I hate to tell you, buddy.
1979. I'm Gen X. I'm the last of a dying breed.
Okay. I don't think you are. I think by the laws of culture, the zeitgeist, that you were technically a millennial.
My
and
parents
I know it.
When
kills
I was
me to
in
hear that.
Fucking middle school, my parents gave me a key to the house so I could let myself in when I got home. That is Gen X. They don't do that anymore.
Middle school? I think I was in elementary. I think I was in fourth grade when my parents first did that. Millennial age range.
Okay.
Are you ready for this?
1980 to 2000.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Sorry.
You're a cusper, though.
I'm a cusper, yeah. 1979. I was the last of a dying breed. The last of a great They don't make them like that anymore.
You know what?
Yeah.
I'm, if anything, a young, I am a pretty old millennial.
Yeah, you're an elder millennial. It's literally what I said. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, well, here I am, the elder statesman of the millennial generation. I speak on their behalf, and I say that this is our film. And it's, how about this?
Yeah.
And this is an old segment of ours. Is this a romance? No.
Is this a romance? And you say
no.
I
think this is the offspring of the rom-com, and it's our first venture into the teen comedy.
But it's so romantic. There's two couples fall in love.
Yeah, but I think the main thrust of the movie is who and how is Porking going to go down?
Interesting.
And I think that's what makes it a teen movie.
Okay.
A much lampooned teen movie. In fact, why don't we just watch Not Another Teen Movie next?
Does that lampoon this in particular?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll believe you. I never saw it.
I think your generation walked with movies like Empire Records so that my generation could run with horny sex comedies for teens like
Can't Hardly Wait,
which then just like a year later would give way to American Pie, which would redefine the entire
the horniest
genre
of all the sex comedies and probably the greatest American artistic artifact.
And look at where we're on this journey now. We're mapping this. Look at us.
Yeah.
We're like Shackleton.
Yeah. We're a lot like Shackleton and his friend.
Yeah, the guy with the glasses.
Yeah, the Shackleton and the guy with the glasses. We're on the great ship Endurance right now, plowing through, just mindlessly plowing through. Oh, it
sheets
looks like the
ice.
Pack ice is getting a little harder. Should we keep going? Yeah, of course.
It's freezing behind us,
yeah.
too.
Oh, shit. I guess we got to keep going.
Wow. And I'm the guy with the glasses.
And I'm Shackleton.
Okay, here we go.
We're going to have to shoot the ship's cat later.
No, we don't shoot the ship. Everyone survives.
Yeah, okay.
Jack, haven't you fucking read all the books about it, like me?
Yeah.
All right, who else is on the Endurance?
Shackleton's friend, best friend, with the glasses.
Shackleton's best friend has glasses.
Yeah.
And his name is Frank Wilde.
Yeah.
That's a cool name.
He's a stowaway, I think.
I actually don't think Frank Wilde has glasses.
Well, I think he was a stowaway.
Someone else. That's a cool name, though.
And there's a cat called, like, Mrs. Twitchens or something.
Do you want me to find out?
Yeah, just Google Shackleton's cat. It's not rocket science.
Here we go. Mrs. Chippy.
Yeah, there you go.
A male ship's cat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just me, you, and Mrs. Chippy on the great ship Endurance, and we've plowed past the warm climes of Empire Records into the chilly tundra of Can't Hardly Wait and soon American
and Pie. I've discovered who I am, and I'm Sir James Wordy.
Okay. Oh, Worthy. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
The geologist.
Okay.
Jock Wordy, friends called me.
Lovely.
And he's got glasses. And
yeah,
I think
and
he was
fine.
Also Shackleton's best friend.
Yeah.
He had a lot of best friends. He was a cool dude.
Shackleton's very
and
cool
that's
guy.
Us. Right here on the sort of tundra of the romance genre on the very like edges of it.
Yeah.
Honestly, dipping out of it. I think we've gone too far out into the pack ice and we're in teen comedies now.
We need to set up on Elephant Island and I will lead it.
It's a different sensation, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Watching this film.
Yeah, it felt a little different. It was more a teen comedy. Seth Green is in it. He's so funny. Should we do our segment that's called Dramatic Persona?
Yes, and let's start with Seth Green and his friends, because he plays a guy called Kenny something.
Yeah, he's funny. It's funny.
And
he's
this
funny.
Is just something that my generation also just perfected was this art form of, like, what if, like, a nerdy white guy was into, like, hip-hop?
Yeah.
And, like, spoke with, like, a AAVE, you know? Like, wouldn't that be, like, hilarious?
Yeah.
And sort of dressed in a way that, like, definitely didn't quite work.
Yeah, I think he's
wearing like
raver
big
pants.
Like raver goggles.
Yeah,
he's a little bit confused.
His style is all over the place. He does have a wonderful catchphrase in this film.
Think of all the good work we did there. Think of like Eugene Levy or remember Finding Forrester?
I didn't see that one.
It's like my generation's like Schindler's List.
Okay,
and we got James Bond to say, "You're the man now, dog."
Oh, is that?
And then
that
we turned it
is?
into an entire like online empire. God, famous we're just site. So good at yeah, media, so good. At culture.
Yeah.
I don't think people, I think like everyone still fawns over Gen X and your contributions to culture and like, you know, Kurt Cobain in the 90s and like MTV.
Pretty
and,
good.
Like, VH1, like, what was it called? Untapped, Unwired?
Unplugged.
Unplugged.
Yeah, pretty good.
But I think it's time to start recognizing some of the millennial contributions to culture okay. and society.
Well, Smash Mouth.
Telling me.
And Seth Green saying, why are you trying to waste my flavor?
Yeah, he's good in this movie.
Why you gotta waste my flavor? Damn!
He's very funny in this movie. So we should say Seth Green is in it. There's also like a shocking number of people who cross over from the Buffyverse. Seth Green being the most prominent.
Is this a Whedon vehicle?
Well, it seems like it. So here are all the people in this movie who are also in Buffy. Seth Green, Paige Moss, Eric Balfour, Amber Benson, Shannon Rowe, Clea DuVall, Nicole Bilderbach, and Christopher Veal. That's a lot. That's a lot.
That is a lot. I also yeah. think it's probably like, it feels like late Ethan Embry.
Is it? Yeah. Well, don't you Ethan think? Embry, there's also a lot of crossover from Empire Records.
Yeah, there is.
You know what else there's a lot of crossover? 6 Feet Under. Massive amounts of crossover between this movie and 6 Feet Under.
Well, let's look at the director here.
Yeah.
Harry Elfont.
Very famous.
His picture on IMDb is a stolen watermarked image from Getty Images.
Okay, perfect.
Wow, what a lineup this guy's got. I'm sure we'll revisit him again. He did Leap Year. He did Maid of Honor. But then he did like Josie and the Pussycats. He did the Flintstones in Viva Rock Vegas. What a journey this man's been on. But no connections that I can see to these other cinematic universes.
Dharma is in this movie from Dharma and Greg.
Yeah,
she's
an
angel.
She plays God.
Yeah.
Like in the Joan Osborne sense of the word.
Yeah, in the Joan Osborne sense of the word.
Like if God was one of us.
Jason Segel is in this movie. One of his
early
earliest
Jason
roles.
Segel. Yeah.
Doing something funky with a watermelon.
Neve Campbell is in a lot of these movies.
But not this
I'm
one.
I'm seeing on the IMDb page. She's in this one.
Okay. Is she?
She flirts with Mike Dexter late in the film.
Okay.
She's one
we
of
should
two
say women. What happens.
Yeah.
We should also
just
say that Sabrina's, I think Sabrina's in this, right?
Sabrina the Teenage Witch is in it. Yeah. Which is irrelevant to our other show, which you should check out, patreon.com/BSEC podcast. It's called OGIF. Yeah. Oh, God, it's Friday. And we do all the TGIF shows, and eventually we'll
like
get
it.
To
Sabrina.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch. But right now we're locked in to November of 1989, so it's going to be some time. Yeah. Check it out anyway. Film debut of Jason Segel. Can I just say that real quick?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So let's say what happens.
Okay, how?
We've taken to going back to doing it in a minute. Do you want to do that?
I guess so, but I think it's probably your turn.
There's no reason why it would be my turn.
There's no reason why it would be my turn.
Well, then it seems like we're at an impasse. Maybe we could flip a coin or something.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Online coin flipper. Here we go.
Okay. And I'm going to go to one too. How will I know that you're...
I'm on flipsimu.com.
Okay. I'm on that too.
And I'm going to hit flip it. And I'm just going to announce it. The second it resolves, I'm going to announce it.
Okay.
Are you ready?
But so I call it? That seems... Okay,
heads.
Well, it's heads.
What did you call?
Heads.
Well, I don't think we did it right.
I flipped mine. What did you call?
Tails.
That it was tails. So this hasn't helped.
Oh, okay. So we're tied.
Let's just do 30 seconds each.
Okay. And then you hand me the baton?
Yeah.
Let me hand you the baton.
Okay.
I'll start us off.
Okay.
Are you ready? Who's
yeah,
starting
I'm
the
ready.
Clock? I don't know who controls the clock when we're both doing
I've got
it.
The clock. I
we need
start
a third
it.
Party.
Ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Go.
High school is over. We're all going to go off to college now. It's the biggest party of the year. It's the end of the year. Everyone wants to get their dicks wet. And that's no exception for the lead character of the movie, who we forgot to mention in the Personas Dramatis Personae. All we mentioned was Seth Green's character, I think. There's a whole other world of characters in the movie. Ethan Embry is the guy I'm talking about. He's going to go off to college the next day, so this party he needs to
admit
his love to Jennifer Love Hewitt.
And time.
So I think I got a good chunk of the movie in there.
The whole way through, Jennifer Love Hewitt and her ex-boyfriend are
Mike Dexter.
Maybe going to get back together, but they don't because he's an asshole. And Ethan Embry does eventually fall. I can't remember what happens in it.
He struggles to get like get it up to admit his love for Jennifer Love Hewitt, and
yeah, and he's got such wide eyes.
Time he does, she's publicly broken up with Mike Dexter, and everyone is trying their shot with her. So yeah,
including her cousin.
Yeah, so she dismisses him immediately. Yeah. So he is downtrodden. Meanwhile, his best friend, who is what's her face from that show that your generation's obsessed with.
Yes.
6 Feet Under.
Yes. So 6 Feet Under is, she gets locked in a bathroom with Seth Green.
She's also in Party of Five, I think is where I know her from.
Yeah. She gets locked in a bathroom with Seth Green. And that's the
scene So they're childhood friends, but they grew apart when Seth Green decided that he wanted to like be like a hip hop guy.
Yeah.
Or like a raver or like.
Unclear something. What it is. Yeah. And they have relations. It's kind of cute.
They do it in the bathroom, and then their boyfriend and girlfriend. That's cute.
And that's pretty much it. Ethan Embry meets an angel.
That's pretty much it. There's like a dork who's like trying to sabotage Mike Dexter, the cool guy, and they end up kind of being buddies, and it's nice. And Clarissa explains it all is there, and she wants everyone to sign her yearbook.
And she's funny, too.
And there's a band.
Love Burger.
I don't remember what they're called. Love Burger.
Classic movie. We have
classic movie.
I think we have time for a quick name generator before we take a break.
Okay.
Do you want to do that?
Yeah, please.
So at the beginning of the film, they show everybody's yearbook entry. And everybody has activities. They have three activities. And then they have their future plans. And they have a quote. So I thought we could do, what is your... yearbook. 90s yearbook. What is your 90s yearbook?
I didn't have a 90s yearbook. I had a 2002 yearbook, which is close.
Okay, yeah. So we need to generate three activities. We need to generate some future plans, and we need to generate a quote. And everybody can play along.
I don't know if there's any engine capable of that. Can you think of any?
Now that you mention it, Tanner, I do. Everybody, head on over to Mockaroo. I hope you have it bookmarked by now. Get yourself.
I bought myself a Chromebook that I just use. I call it the Mockaroo book because it's just
Hell
dedicated
yeah.
solely to Mockaroo. All right, what do we got?
So here are the fields we need. Activity one, activity two, Mockaroo.com, folks, who are playing along at home. And activity three. Then we need future plans. And then we need a quote. Do you think it can generate a quote, or is that too powerful, even for Mockaroo?
I think it can probably generate a name that we can take to Google and search alongside the word quote.
Okay, that's smart. So as an example, I think Ethan Embry's yearbook says his activities are literary journal, honor society, and swimming. His future plans are Dartmouth College. And his quote is, beware of all enterprises that require clothes. And then 6 Feet Under, her yearbook activities are none. Future plans are NYU. And quote is, a true friend stabs you in the front, Oscar Wilde. So that's the type of thing that we're trying to get for ourselves here. Something like that, something that would not look out of place in our 90s yearbook and won't embarrass us when it gets pulled out later and everybody looks at it. And
Oscar Wilde is a character in the book we're reading right now. Construction role?
Okay, so this is for activity one.
Mm-hmm. Or construction heavy equipment.
Great. I think construction role probably works.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. We'll just have to maybe... construction subcontract category is going to get where we need to go.
Construction subcontract. Yeah. Okay. We want both of those. And then we probably want construction trade too, right?
Okay. So we're just going to do all the construction stuff.
I don't know. We don't have to, but it just seems like three ripe categories right there.
No, that seems fine to me. I'm fine with that. Okay. That's great.
You know, what?
Yeah.
Future plans. Now, this is going to be tricky.
Okay. Yeah. So for them, it was just a college.
It's a college. Is college in here?
We could do fake company name.
We could do state and then just find the college that's in that state.
I think we should find a job and then that's our future plans.
No, I would like to go to college.
Well, why don't you pick university then?
Oh, there is a university field in here.
Like, we're going to skip college.
No, I'm going to pick a university, and then I'm going to add a field, and it's going to be major.
Oh, that's great. Okay. I like that a lot. Okay.
It's going to, instead of future plans, it's going to be college and major.
Okay. So you've got university, and then we're picking, how do we get our major?
I think I'm going to go back to construction trade.
Okay. Well, you can do that. I'm going to do stock industry.
Yeah, I'm going to do stock industry too.
So we need a quote. And so I think what we'll do here is our workaround for this, where we'll pick a movie title and then we will go to Wikipedia, find the lead actor in that movie or the main character in that movie and search quotes for them.
Okay. I love that. Okay. What a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm in.
Okay. I'm ready to go.
I'm generating.
Yeah, I'm generating.
So remind me the format. This is some of the activities we had in high school.
Yeah.
Some of the clubs we were involved in, some of like sports, theater, that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. So do you want to, I guess, do you want me to just tell you my...
Oh, I remember. We were close friends. But yeah.
Okay.
I mean, this is, we're at the yearbook office together. We're here to like announce our yearbook content.
So I'm ready and everybody knows. everybody knows me. I'm the crazy like raver kid. But like, sure. I'm smart, you know, like I'm into poetry and I'm sensitive and shit.
Yeah.
Very handsome.
Mm-hmm.
Most not likely relevant. To continue to be handsome all the way into his 40s voted.
Oh, I guess it is relevant. Yeah.
But the thing that I'm most well known for is that, you know me, I'm always down at the painting and vinyl wall covering shop.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Doing painting and vinyl wall covering.
I know that. It's right next to the rebar and wire mesh install shop.
Oh, yeah. And that's your one, right?
Yeah.
But that's not the only thing I do. I'm one of these folks who wants to have like on my college application. You know, a lot of activities. And so obviously I'm going to put the second thing I'm most well known for, which is Boilermaker.
Yes. Oh, I love you make such a good Boilermaker.
And
those will knock you on your ass, Jack's Boilermakers.
You know me, Jack, they always say it comes in threes, and when they see Jack, he's either doing painting and vinyl wall covering, he's working on a boiler, or he's down with the boys doing a little bit of RF shielding after school.
Remind me what that is.
RF shielding? You don't know what that is?
I mean, I know, but just remind me, or remind someone.
Yeah, it's short for radio frequency shielding.
Like hacker, hack proof.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were into that stuff. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool stuff. So those are my main activities. And what are your activities that you've got? I mean, I know.
Well, I mean, as you know, I'm often right next door to you at the rebar and wire mesh installation facilities.
Yeah, often see you there.
I just love that stuff, you know? I can't get enough of it.
Yeah.
I love how difficult it is to work with and how often you kind of get scraped up and cut when you're trying to work with something like wire mesh. You know? I love that rush.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm not busy doing that, I'm usually busy laying pipe, if you know what
okay.
I mean. Okay,
I do. Yeah, literally.
Literally pipeline.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the like guilds I belong to at our high school. And then, of course, you know I love estimating. I'm always estimating. I'm walking around just like estimating like the number of like beans in jars or like how many kids do you think are in this hallway right now? I guess. Not really like a club, but definitely like an interest, you know?
Well, given all that, I would imagine that you have probably pretty similar. Are we going to go to the same college? I hope so.
I think so. I mean, I'm waiting to hear back if I was accepted. Let me look up their acceptance rate. Oh, boy. It's only 30 to 40%.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Let me look up Harvard's. 5%. Okay. So actually, I think I probably do have a really good shot of
my acceptance
into...
rate is 70%. So that makes me think that we're not going to the same school.
Oh, boy. You're not going to Komazawa University, the oldest university in Japan, in the heart of Tokyo?
I wish I were, but I applied early admission to the Instituto Politecnico di Viana do Castello.
Oh, in Vienna?
No, I think it's in Portugal.
Is that Italian or... Oh, that was
it's
Portuguese.
In Portugal. Yeah.
Wow, you got to work on your Portuguese accent. That's a shame. We're going to be on the other side of the world from one another.
Yeah.
But at least we'll be studying the same thing.
Yes. No, certainly. Should we just say it all at once?
Yep.
All together? All right, ready? One, two, three. Major
consumer non-durables.
Okay. Damn it.
What? What happened to your love for consumer non-durables?
You know me, man.
This
college,
has been our whole like high school career. We've been talking nonstop about our dream of getting into consumer non-durables together. We had a pact. Remember, it was like by the night of the big party, we both have to have like taken the first step into the like our journey into consumer non-durables.
I think my one is just like, it's a joke, you know, it's like a wink wink, major pharmaceuticals, you know what I'm saying? Like, everyone knows I'm gonna be studying consumer non-durables for real.
Yeah,
which you would understand better if you read my senior quote.
Right. Okay. Yes. And I of course was too distracted thinking of my own senior quote, one of my favorite quotes, that I of course didn't have a chance to read yours. Remind me what it said.
Well, it's from my favorite movie, Cargo, the 2017 Australian post-apocalyptic horror
movie
drama film.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's pretty good.
Yeah, and the quote from Cargo that I chose to be my senior quote is, oh, this is just quotes about Cargo.
Okay. Yeah, and that's what you wanted, right?
Yeah.
I remember the yearbook guy was like, this is just a quote about Cargo. And you're like, yeah.
Yeah. My senior quote is from Soren Skou. And it is, when we talk about smart transportation, it is more than moving cargo from A to B. Digitization within transport and logistics means seamless service to our customers, visibility in the supply chain, and driving a more efficient business.
Okay. And that has something to do with the zombie film Cargo? Or no?
I think I misunderstood the assignment.
I don't remember it being like a highly quotable movie.
Yeah, so that's why that's why I had that other quote about moving cargo. And it's, you know, it's beautiful, and it's just who I am. And what's going on with you? Did you get a quote from a movie as well?
Oh, yeah. As you know, I'm going to Komazawa University, Tokyo's oldest university. I will be studying consumer non-perishable goods. Was that it?
Uh-huh.
Consumer non-durables.
Yeah.
And I do have a quote in my yearbook sort of related to, because I thought
passions.
We were just both fully into consumer non-durables, but it's from my favorite writer, auteur, mm-hmm. Gary J. Tunnicliffe, an English writer.
Uh-huh.
Burntwood, England.
Is he a screenwriter?
Well, actually, most of his credits are for the makeup department. He has 106 makeup department credits on IMDb and just 10 writing credits.
Okay.
So I wouldn't describe him as a screenwriter. No, I would
more
describe
of a makeup
him as a
guy.
Makeup artist.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is one of my favorite pieces. I mean, this is a quote from one of my favorite things that he's written.
Okay.
Unless you want to taste her blood. Feel her freshly raised flesh against your own. You'll sit in silence. We have no desire for you.
Okay, that's weird.
Yeah.
What's that? Is that from a movie?
2011's Hellraiser Revelations.
Okay.
I think a late direct-to-TV or direct-to-video sequel. Prequel, I think.
Okay.
Of the Hellraiser saga. And
let's, that one really
let's look
stood
at
out to you, huh?
Makeup artist Gary Tunnicliffe's other writing credits include Hellraiser Judgment, Hellraiser Debtor, Winter's Lament, Hellraiser Prophecy. And that's it.
And a lot of makeup.
That's mostly it.
Well, that's really beautiful. I'm sorry we won't be going to the same school, but you know, never forget our passion for consumer durables.
Non-durables.
That is something that will always
non-durables.
Be non-durables.
Non-durables.
Oh shit. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back, talk more about this movie. And now, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey everybody, it's Evil Jack here, and I have some bad news to share, which is that the evil BetterHelp competitor that Evil Tanner and I started, WetterHelp, which offers all the same services as BetterHelp, except 100% soggier, is going under. Both literally and figuratively. Unfortunately, a lot of the therapists we tried to work with, despite being licensed counselors who you would expect to be some of the most understanding people in the world, were actually extremely rude and unforgiving about how damp their contracts were when it came time to sign. And a lot of our clients expressed a surprising amount of dissatisfaction with their sessions, despite the fact that we went above and beyond to ensure that each interaction was as quaggy, mushy, squelchy, moist, and waterlogged as we could manage within the constraints of a small business. Also, our offices are sinking. All of this is, of course, causing me and Evil Tanner a good deal of stress, anxiety, grief, LGBT matters, and self-esteem, which means that we are going to have to make use of some of the many licensed therapists at BetterHelp, despite the fact that they don't have a 100% moistness guarantee, and their counselors insist on conducting some of the most bone-dry therapy sessions you could imagine. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you should definitely give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, and it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. At the moment, we are sadly unable to offer you the squelchy, sopping alternative that WetterHelp was really starting to be known for, so I guess you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way and call your therapist from the shower, or ideally, some kind of bog. If you've got some things you really want to get off your chest, just fill out a brief questionnaire at BetterHelp to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. But if you want the soaking of a lifetime, well, I guess you're just going to have to stand next to a puddle and wait for a bus to drive by, because apparently there's no room in this country for entrepreneurs anymore. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bedfellows today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bedfellows.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay. Well, we don't have a ton. Well, we should say this. There's aliens in the movie, isn't it?
Yes.
There's aliens in the movie, and it's buries the lead.
It's a
science fiction thriller, and the movie wants us to care about, like, whether these teens are going to have sex or fall in love or not, but there's aliens, and it's much more important than anything that happens in their petty little lives, as we've learned that there's
Though you wouldn't know it from watching the film.
Yeah.
That it's important, because no one seems to really give it much
No one talks room. About it. There's these two characters who are, like, super into the X-Files, and at the end of the movie, after the credits, they literally get abducted by aliens.
Yeah. Yeah.
And isn't that something?
I can't believe we jumped William.
Yeah. I can't believe we didn't go into the party.
It probably sucked anyway.
Probably. Those people are totally boring.
Yeah. This town is so lame.
Tell me about it. Nothing exciting ever happens here.
I guess maybe, I don't know why the filmmakers decided to show us and no one else, because I guess maybe in the narrative universe of the film, which again is tied to so many other narrative universes, including the entire Buffy universe, these characters, no one saw them be disappeared.
Yeah, I guess not. But
only we saw that.
It's quite a bomb to drop at the end of this movie where you're like, oh, I'm so pleased that Ethan Embry got the girl. And then it's like, no, there's aliens and they're abducting. Two children were taken.
He does get the girl.
Yes.
Even though they spend the entire movie not speaking to one another.
Yeah.
She does realize that she is in love with him.
Yeah.
So they're going to get together.
And the Barry Manilow.
Yeah, Barry Manilow plays a pretty big, significant, I don't know if he like paid or his like publicist or just really savvy or something, but he plays a pretty big part in this film.
Yeah. There's a lot of Barry Manilow. I was thinking we could send you into the vast expanse of future dystopia to languish. Arbiter Tanner, it's so nice to see you. I hope we haven't interrupted anything.
Hello, Jack. You have actually.
Okay, yeah.
I was at a bris.
Okay. That's nice.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't my bris. It was like a friend's newborn.
Yeah.
So I don't think I'll be missed.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
I mean, I'm sure it's suspicious that I suddenly disappeared and was replaced by someone who looks and acts exactly like me, except it's from
the past.
Several millennia in the past, yeah. I think.
Well, we're glad to have you here. What we like to do, and we'll try to do it fairly fast, is run through some of the positive, negative, and middling reviews of this film, and you can dispense judgment on the reviewers and whether they're being fair-minded.
Oh, I would love to.
Okay, there it is.
This is going to be an especially harsh punishment today.
Okay.
Because I'm feeling angry, feeling fired up.
There's some bad boys today. Yeah. It's a little segment that we call On the One Hand. Mm-hmm. And the first part of the segment is also confusingly called On the One Hand. And it's where we talk about the positive reviews.
It's like Lord of the Rings, you know? Like everyone's just like, oh, I love the book Lord of the Rings. It's like, what do you mean? You mean you love the book Fellowship of the Rings?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, fuck you if you say that.
And this is sort of the same thing, except you would be right.
Yeah, you would be right.
And
yeah.
Tolkien should have just called the first one The Lord of the Rings.
He should have, yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
Modern fantasy trilogy tropes, like, you'd have to call the first one Lord of the Rings, and then the second one would have to be called, like, either Lady of the Rings or like Lord of the something else, you know?
Lord of the like
Lord of the
Bells. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Lord of the Bells. That's good.
Or
yeah.
Like Duke of the Peregrines. yeah, it would be bad. And also like the problem with modern fantasy epics is no one ever remembers what the name of the actual epic is.
No. Yeah, I mean, what's the Brandon Sanderson one? Way of Kings.
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah, but it's
I know
not.
That the
it's
book,
called
the first
Stormlight
book is called
Archive. Yeah.
Yeah, and who could ever remember
who
that?
Who could remember that? That's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about these fairly positive reviews. On July 5th, 2008, Han H. gave this film 4 stars, and Han says...
I don't have any guesses. Han Holo.
Han Holo says, "This is so my life story. When will I find my Amanda?"
You're telling me, Han?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. He must be an elder millennial like me.
Yeah.
Doesn't it just feel like it's like putting on like a nice sweater, watching this movie. God, my life was so like this. I mean, I didn't look as old as Ethan Embry when I was in high school. He's aged out.
If Han, I don't want to nitpick, but if Han thinks that his life story is exactly the same as the life story of Ethan Embry's character in this movie.
Yeah, mine too.
And yet he has not found his Amanda, which is the primary, Amanda is the primary thing that happens to Ethan Embry in this movie.
He's still, I think Han is probably 38 years old and he's still waiting to be invited to that party.
Yeah.
Where like he's going to meet his.
It's going to happen. His Amanda.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yeah, that's possible. Maybe he means that his life story is the Seth Green character and he's locked in a bathroom and this is a cry for help. He's like, I only have access to Rotten Tomatoes. Maybe
we've all been locked in a bathroom.
People will know to come and let me out of the bathroom. On March 21st, 2011, Justin M. gave this film 3.5 stars, which feels unfair and a little bit parsimonious.
You can do half stars?
Yeah. Three and a half.
It's so performative.
I know. Give me a break. But he says, I liked it, and I don't care who knows.
Well, you do care.
You do, don't you? Because you wanted to say it's not a five-star movie.
If you were an evangelist for the film.
Yeah.
What's this guy's name? Justin?
Justin M.
Oh, it's my cousin, Justin McGraw.
Okay. That sucks, man. I'm sorry.
An accountant in Minnesota. God, okay. I knew it, Justin. I knew you didn't like this movie. Why didn't you tell me?
Yeah.
If you liked it, you'd be an evangelist for it. You'd rate it 5 stars and you'd be telling everyone.
Yeah.
And I've known you our entire lives and you've never once mentioned the movie Can't
Never even mentioned it. Come on. This is how you tell me?
You've mentioned the movie Slapshot a lot.
Really?
Sure.
Okay. This is a segment within a segment we like to call On the Fence Hand. Mm-hmm. Yang J gave this film 3 stars on November 25th, 2013. Yang J says the following thing about Can't Hardly Wait. A school movie, but not as good as the last one.
See, look something up real quick.
What do you mean by that, Yang Jay? Which one specifically do you mean? Like, we don't live in your fucking head, man.
Sequel?
The last one you watched?
I guess maybe I'll search, what is Can't Hardly Wait a spiritual?
Okay, perfect.
Sequel.
A squeakquel. Yeah, say squeakquel.
Wow. So it's one of three things, one of three okay. films that I think he's talking about. What was his name? Jian?
Yang Jay.
Yang Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Dazed and Confused.
Okay.
Is one possibility.
It's a great movie.
Clueless.
Fantastic movie.
Is another one. Mm-hmm. And then apparently the only other film that the pair of Harry Elfont and Deborah Kaplan made before this one, and I think this is probably what he's talking
Yang Jay's
about.
Talking about. Yeah.
Is a very Brady sequel.
Okay. Yeah.
That's their only other credit.
Classic. All-time classic.
1996.
Marsha Brady, harder to get into than a Pearl Jam concert. One of the great lines of cinema.
Wow. And you actually, you're not only familiar with the, you're not only like aware of the film, but you're deeply familiar with it.
I don't know why that popped into my head. Okay, Yang Jay. Yeah. So it's not as good as a very Brady sequel. Fair enough.
Jack agrees with you on that. Sounds like.
On March 8th, 2008, John D gave this film 2.5 stars with the following
John
review.
Deere.
John Deere. John Deere says of this film, I think I've seen it.
Yeah, me too.
2.5 stars. Pretty sure I've seen it.
True words have never been spoken, John Deere.
Crushed it. No notes. This is a segment within a segment we like to call On the Other Hand. Where we talk about the negative reviews of the film. Robert W. gave this film half a star on March 24th, 2011. Robert W. says, I can feel sick forming in my mouth. The 1980s teen college film died out, but this didn't, and it's 1998. Give this a miss.
Here's what I think about Robert W. Do you know Toad from the X-Men comics?
Ooh, no.
He was a bad guy mutant who, his thing was that he had Toad-like qualities.
Okay.
And I think like he could spit like bile.
Okay.
And when Robert says he feels sick forming in his mouth, it's interesting because it's like I think sick
like
often comes from like the stomach and comes up through the mouth, but his is produced in the mouth and it must be like offensive, you know?
It's that or he has necrofasciitis because that's kind of what I felt
and it's,
around
it's
this time
around.
Yesterday. Yeah. And it's going around. Yeah. And he should get that looked into. Actually, I looked it up. You don't need to get it looked into. Like
the mortality rate is through the roof.
Yeah.
I think you're supposed to like stay in place and quietly die.
Whatever like official government medical website I went to look this up very helpfully was like, there's nothing you can do about this. Just
make
like
peace
try to make
God.
Yourself as comfortable as possible.
Good. That's exactly what you want to hear.
Yeah. So sorry about that, Robert W. It'll pass. Edwin T. on July 8th, 2010 gave this film one star and says the following thing. Talk about bile forming in the mouth. Wow, this is a zinger. He says, great poster. Shame about the movie.
Wow. What's the poster look like?
It's like just a teen movie poster, I think.
Yeah, they're all just sort of like, it's like, oh, I know what I'm getting with this. It's an ensemble cast.
Yeah, if you looked at the poster
everyone's
for this
on
movie
the poster.
And you expected anything other than the movie you got, I don't know what to tell you, Edwin.
It is a good poster. He's right.
Yeah, it is.
And it's a good movie.
And it's a good
Edwin.
Movie, Edwin. On December 12th, 2009, super reviewer Wahida K, who I kind of think we've run into before, gave
oh,
this
it
film.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
Yeah. Gave this film one star, Wahida K, and you can see why Wahida K is a super reviewer when you hear this review. Here's what Wahida says. I thought this movie would be funny and all, but after like 30 minutes, I thought I can hardly wait for the end credits.
And I think you didn't give Wahida a fair shake there, Jack. Can you take another run at it? You like stumbled in a way that like...
After like 30 minutes, I thought I can't hardly wait for the end credits. Is that better?
Yeah. Because I was gonna take issue with the structure of
Wahida has a ton of typos. in their review, and so it was very difficult for me to read it. I already gave
call the cops. What do you want?
Okay, yeah.
Message came through. It's yeah. a good burn.
Well, Hita was one of a number of people who tried to make can't hardly wait jokes, but did it most effectively of everyone that I saw.
I tell you what, I watched the movie and I thought, I can't hardly wait to discuss this with my best friend Jack because it's yeah. such a good Same. Time.
Same. Yeah, exactly.
Wahida.
Finally, on April 9th, 2008, Ingrid H. gave this film 1.5 stars and says the following. You know what? What's a Hemingway thing? Two baby shoes and nobody wore the shoes because the baby died?
The baby's dead.
You baby's dead. Baby's dead. Don't need the shoes anymore. Famous sad story. Short story. Shortest sad short story. Baby died. Yeah. Don't need these shoes anymore. Anyway,
you somehow made it longer, but said nothing.
Okay,
more.
What about this?
Added nothing more.
I think this is going to be even shorter than his. Baby died. Free shoes? Question mark.
No, it's not even free shoes. It's a pair of baby shoes sitting.
My one's shorter.
On like a stoop with a little cardboard sign behind it that says "free."
And it's I not a New Yorker cartoon. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, it should be. I'm going to submit that to the New Yorker every day until they accept it.
This is what Ingrid H. said, and it's the equivalent of that. It's a modern equivalent of that. She says in her 1.5-star review, "My mom made me return this to Blockbuster because there was too much foul language."
Okay, I don't believe you. What date was that posted?
April 9th, 2008. When was the last Blockbuster? Ingrid H., we're on to you.
Was the last Blockbuster.
You know what? I think there were Blockbusters 2008.
I think there was too because it's when I moved to New York City.
Yeah.
And in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, there was like a solitary Blockbuster still operating when Jim and I first moved to the city.
There you
we
go.
We went there. 2014 is when the last one closed, okay. But obviously
so,
it was...
All right, Ingrid H., but that's it's just Fine. Such a sad like that means that she and her mom sat down to watch the movie and watched like I don't know when is the first big swear in the movie
like opening lines
yeah
man they love the bad F word
yeah they do love the bad F word
in this movie
yeah
lots of swearing
well lucky she presumably avoided having to watch the scene where like Seth Green is lubing himself up in the bathroom
yeah he does a thing which I don't know if it's right I don't
yeah
I'm like a married man and I had it's not something I've had to worry about for a long time
yeah
but he thinks it might be in his best interest to get the condom on
in advance
in advance.
Yeah.
He excuses himself to the bathroom upstairs.
Yeah.
To put on a condom in advance just to be ready in case, like,
yeah.
intercourse happens, like, instantly.
You tell Special K what he can do to make you feel better.
Come to the pool house with me?
Of course I will. Anything for you, baby. Just wait right here once. I'll be right back.
He'll do.
All right, bathroom, pee, underarm check, breakfast shirt. Yo, hold up. Do I put on a Jimmy hat now? No, that ain't gonna work.
Which it almost does for him several
yeah.
times.
Yeah, and then does.
And then does.
So, hey, who are we to complain about his process? It seems like it worked great.
Now, it makes me like wonder if I was doing it wrong the whole time, you know? But
yeah.
I'm going to be totally honest with you. In 2002, when I was graduating from high school, going to a cool party to have sex was
not
way outside of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, fair enough. Arbiter Tanner, who do you dispense your kisses to?
Jiang?
Yang J.
Yang J.
A school movie, but not as good as the last one. The guy who likes the very Brady sequel.
Yeah, and okay. I just... This one's for you, Jack, because I know you. It sounds like you agree. It sounds like you're a huge fan of a very
always
Brady
quoting
sequel.
It. My friend Jack is always quoting a very Brady sequel. That Pearl Gem line may actually be from the first Brady movie. So don't hold me to that. Okay, you can go back to the Briss. I hope it's not raided by the future police.
Why would it be?
I don't know. It just sounds like it's a real dystopia out there.
I'm on the future police force.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot. Goodbye. Tanner, welcome back.
Thank you. I was at a bris. It was lovely.
Oh, nice. That's pretty much all the time we have for today.
Let's do burns, because there's one really good burn.
Okay, let's do burns. I don't have a burn, so we can just really dwell on your burn. It's our...
Burn of the week.
And I didn't have one. I just didn't capture one. And I'm not trying to force it.
Kenny Fisher is the name of Seth Green's character. He's the only character we've introduced by name or at all in this movie.
Yeah.
And he is a dork.
Yeah.
And he's like a hip hop guy, like Ali G.
Cool dude.
But surprisingly self-aware, at the 10 minute and 12 second mark, he says to his other like white hip hop friends.
Yeah.
Yo, I gotta have sex tonight. I mean, peep this.
It say here 92% of honeys at UCLA sexually active. 92% of women in Los Angeles at UCLA walking around going, class or sex? What shall I do? 92%, yo. You know what that means, don't you?
And then some character called Richie Coolboy, and I could have played that fucking part, says, and Kenny Fisher says,
that means I got some 92% chance of embarrassing myself. I roll up on that shorty like, what's up, yo? She'd be like, you don't know 20 different ways to make me call you Big Papa? Because I don't, yo.
So it's a self-burn, and it's a good one, and it's, you know,
it's beautiful.
He's aware of his shortcomings, but he's doing his best.
Role of a lifetime for Seth Green. Role of a lifetime.
I mean,
folks will have heard the Can't Hardly Wait version of that, because I pulled a clip, certainly.
Right.
Unless I've gotten real lazy, which one day it's going to happen. Folks, it's not fun pulling those clips, let me tell you. But
it's not fun, but I hope you don't do it here, because I put zero emotion into it.
I was going to say, listening to you struggle through that line read was just eye-opening. It's
and
not
how
easy.
Good he is at this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't struggling through. I was rushing through, because I know you're just going to put the actual audio over it.
Really beautiful, really beautiful movie. This is a fun movie. I don't know if we've said that. It's super fun. I've watched it like probably 7 times, and I've always enjoyed it.
Let's go, boys. Time is honey, is what he says, too. God, he's such a good character.
And he says, what's the context for him saying, why are you trying to waste my flavor? It's so good that he says it. It's great. It's a great thing to say. Why are you trying to waste my flavor?
It's Richie Coolboy.
Yeah.
Again, he's having some kind of fight with Richie Coolboy. At some point, he says, those shoes, to a character named Denise.
Okay.
Oh, that's 6 feet under.
Okay,
and she says, what? And he says, do they serve an orthopedic function? It's so funny.
What a good movie. Everybody has to go watch it. I'd like to thank you, Tanner, very much for bearing with me this week.
Yeah, of course.
I would like to thank the B-Babies.
Go hot dogs. We were talking about this before we even started recording, but apparently they're called the hot dogs.
I don't think so. I think, you know what it is? I think they're called the something dogs. They're called like the prairie dogs, and their nickname is the hot dogs. Don't look it up. We don't have time. I was just
too late.
Winding up.
Too late.
We're leaving.
Okay.
Just don't make me pull another clip.
I won't. All right. I'm out.
Say it. Say it. If you got it, you got it.
I can't find any information.
At some point, is Clarissa Explains It All the same as Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
Yes.
At some point, okay, that explains. I had a like real namespace collision going on in my brain there. at some point, she says, go hot dogs.
Yeah.
Okay.
And here's the clip that Jack pulled.
Fuck.
I was trying to get out of it. You're the one who dragged us
just
back
say
in.
It fast.
There's nothing to say.
I would like to thank you, Tanner, very much for bearing with me. I'd like to thank the Bee Babies and the Sex Bugs so very much for bearing with us. We do love and kiss you every single day.
Yeah.
I would like to
remind... If I had it my way.
I would like to remind folks that you got to subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/BSCC podcast. It's a great way to support the show. And it's also a whole other podcast that you get. So thank you to everybody who has subscribed to our Patreon. We appreciate you. And we are putting out what I think is a pretty fun show for folks who are interested in joining the Fry Babies. Patreon.com/BSCC podcast. Please join our Facebook group. It's Baby Nation on Facebook. Recommend the show to a friend. Why not? Everybody likes movies. Come on.
And sometimes books.
Yeah.
Like next week.
Books. Yeah, that's an excellent transition. This week, we watched a movie. The movie we watched was called Can't Hardly Wait. Next week, we're going to be reading a dang book, aren't we? And another book. And we're going to have a special guest. Marissa Flaxbart from the Sweet Valley Diaries is going to be joining us to discuss A Rogue of One's Own.
Yes, a steamy Regency romance full of, well, I'm only about halfway through so far.
Yeah,
but
pretty steamy.
There's dicks in it, yeah.
There's dicks in it. Yeah, folks. Say no more.
Yeah.
All that remains is for me to say that this week I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
And I hope that you find your embery ever after.
God, I wish. We might be childhood friends and I might drive you.